Would you grab your swords and go to 1 John chapter 2? You know, the word tells us if you're not willing to tithe, that you receive a curse. Anybody want to be cursed? Man, we've been through that enough, haven't we? So don't hold back what's due to God. Don't hold back. But you don't know my circumstance. Oh, like God doesn't. We don't need to know your circumstance, but he already does. And he's saying, if you'll obey me, I'll make a way. See, the thing is when he makes a way is whether you're listening or just or hearing. See, if you're just listening, you're going to go, oh, okay, this, yeah. Well, when, you know, when God speaks to us, he speaks to us in a specific way. And there's multiple ways he can speak to us. Sometimes he can just brush by. God never forces us to do anything. He leads us. Where there's a push, it's not God. He never pushes us. And let me tell you one thing about God. He never interrupts himself. Never. So when he's given you a vision to do, he doesn't come in and say, do something else. He comes in and he says, complete it. And usually one vision runs into another. A vision will run into another vision. Because each vision is in preparation for the full vision. We only know in part. So if we're cooperating with the one vision, the first purpose that he's given us, then he begins to release more. That's why the word says, once you've been obedient to his commander, his will, then he releases his promise. And so many times the enemy comes in and distracts us. Or we allow him to distract us because we're listening to our emotions. We're listening to our desires. We're listening to our feelings. We're listening to our lusts. We're listening to the change in our pocket. We're listening to man instead of to what the Spirit is saying. Now, God can speak through man. He can speak through his word. He can speak through dreams and visions. And so can the enemy. So we must be careful. And it is a time of discernment. It's a time of being careful. See, we've got to be able to see the end result. We must be able to see the end result of every decision. What is the end result? Again, we've talked about already, what is the ruling voice in our life? What is the ruling motive in our life? What is the ruling agenda in our life? Is it all lining up with God? Have we become religious and stepped away from our relationship? Have we become granola, nutty and fruity, and forsook what God is really trying to tell us what to do? See, in this time right now, we are seeing a tremendous change, a tremendous shift. And in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, if you'll read it with me, please. It says, do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. How many of y'all know that the lust of the flesh has a voice? The lust of the eyes has a voice. Pride has a voice. These things all have a voice. Everything has a voice. It speaks to you daily. Fear has a voice. There are voices that are coming up from everywhere. You know, if you go to a radio station and you turn on the radio, you can pick up any kind of voice you want at any frequency. But it's your responsibility to turn off the voices that are bringing interruption, bringing fear, pushing, and misleading. You've got to be able to see it all the way through what that voice says. And he says in verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. There's a will of God, isn't it? That is a voice. It is called the voice of life. Everyone say the voice of life. So if there's a voice of life, there's a voice of death. So one is leading to life and one is leading to death. Amen? Let's go a little further. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So we know that there is a voice that is against God. It is against Christ. They may proclaim God, but they're actually against Christ. Does everybody understand that? They have their own gods. Self can be a god. Feelings can be a god. Money can be a god. That's what the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. So we can put our own gods. We can make our own goddesses and gods in our own life. They become idols. Every idol is associated with a god. But there's only one true God. There's only one God who gives life and is the life giver. And that is the voice of life. In verse 19, it says they what? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and that none of them were of us. So you're going to see that there's a separation. There's a separation. It's called a falling away. There's a separation of those who are being led by the voice of life and those who are being led by the voice of death. Because Antichrist means coming against the anointing. The anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. They may know it, but they don't follow it. In verse 20, it says, but you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And you know what? All things. So the anointing is the eternal presence, eternal truth, and eternal power of God Almighty. In this realm, it's carried by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's called holy, because its fruit is holy. We have come into an area right now where things are being manifest. It said that they, if they were of us, they would have stayed with us, but they were not of us, they might be manifested. In other words, they might be exposed, they might be seen. We have just seen what happened in this country. This country is now Antichrist. What do you mean? It is against God. 50% of this country is against God. In his ways. Florida gave up Christ and went anti-Christ. This country is now anti-Christ. And its purpose is to come against the ways of God. It's been going on for a while, but it's now manifest. And that means things are going to get crazier. But I had a vision, and the Lord said that no matter what wall they put before you, you'll be able to leap. No matter what ditch they dig out, I will put a bridge. He said, whatever trap they try to set against you, I will trap them first. That's only going to happen in one way, if you can hear. If you can hear. Because if you can't hear, you better be around others that can. Because we are in a time and season right now, and the Word tells us there's three areas. There's the beginning of birth pangs, or what they call the beginning of sorrows. Then there'll be tribulation and great tribulation. We are almost finished with the beginning of birth pangs. The only thing we're waiting on the next event is a seven-year treaty. That seven-year treaty comes into effect. I believe we'll have 3.5 years left. But we now have a leader in the country and an administration that is Antichrist. This is reality. This is reality. Why? Because God does not promote abortion and he does not promote same-sex marriage. And it's not on the agenda. Anything that is approving of those things is Antichrist. See, if you believe Jesus, you will follow him. If you believe him, you believe his ways. If you don't, you are anti-Christ. These individuals he's talking about in this letter, which is letter to the churches, were a letter to believers who went anti-Christ, proclaiming to be believers, but they're not. Because the word believe means to follow. But they can't see because they're blinded. Antichrist spirit blinds. There's limitations. They can only see so far. They can't see it through. They have no idea what the end result is. They're too busy trying to enjoy what they have right now and thinking that there's going to be promises of plenty. In Matthew 25, we must begin to look at the end of all these results. Matthew 25, glory to God. In verse 32, it says, "And all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." We are seeing that happen right now. The goats are anti-Christ, but they used to be believers. And they still proclaim to be believers, but they're doing their own will. It's amazing how many people proclaim to be Christians and they don't even read the Bible. They go by how they feel or what they hear from a pulpit when the person at the pulpit doesn't even preach what's in the Bible. In verse 33, "And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left." Whoa. Again, this is not about Democratic or Republican. This is about left and right. This is what it's about. It's blowing me away, the blindness. When they have Obamanite on one side of their bumper, and then they have on the other side a fish. That's Antichrist. This is reality. This is where we're at right now. We are headed for tribulation. But to God be the glory, we're also headed for revival. We are headed in revival and a mighty move of God. Because the more darkness comes, the more light shines. Yeah. In John chapter 10, "I'm not against any person. I'm against the demons, the spirits." Obama just happens to be carrying a bunch of them, and so do his cohorts. But I know that many believers, I know that people in America were pretty devastated on what happened. But I'm telling you, don't be devastated, because now we know. There's no more guessing about what's getting ready to happen. You know it's getting ready to happen. There's a knowing now. Now there's an area of preparation. Now there's an area of alertness and awakeness. Yes, now it's time to get your house in order. Get things in order. Why? So you can escape. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Amen? The reason why there is the time of grace, because grace is God's plan. Grace is God's plan to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. That's his plan for me and you, that we escape the deception of the devil. Why? Because so we don't do his will. We do the will of the Lord, not the will of the devil. Why? Because if you do the will of the devil, the end result is the wrath of God. And the next event that's going to happen is called the Feast of Trumpets, which will remove the body of Christ from the earth. And if you're not in God's will and doing God's will, you will be left behind. And you will have to go through tribulation, which is the wrath of God. Right now, the judgment of God is here. That's why you're seeing famines. You're seeing storms that are crazy. New York's getting hit. Hello? New Jersey's getting hit. Why do you think so? Because they approve of the things of God? Of course not. This is nothing of what's going to happen. Nothing. There'll be more. But if you are doing the will of God, you are under the blood. And I'm telling you that the blood has a voice. Those are mine. Those are mine. That's what the blood says. Those are mine. See, you're sealed then. And the word says that in the end times where we are right now, that The Lord's going to give a command that the powers, God's going to send his angels out to destroy. He said, but look, don't hurt any that are sealed. See, if you're sealed, you're sealed under the blood. And it cries out, mine. In John 10 and verse 11, then Jesus said to him again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not what? Hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He only cares about his political office. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I will also bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. They will what? Hear my voice. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you came for the truth, right? Oh, glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We must begin to look at the end of every result. Every decision has an end. A decision is a beginning, but every decision has an end. Every choice has an end. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. My brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our what? Gathering together to Him. Our gathering together to Him. That's called the removal of the church, the rapture. That's the next feast which will be fulfilled. That's called the Feast of Trumpet. Not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Verse 3, read it with me. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Unless the what? Falling away comes. Are we seeing the falling away? Yes. It's dividing. A house divided cannot stand. We're seeing it. Lest the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Whoa. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So the body of Christ, our presence right here, the presence of God is restraining evil. It's restraining. If the body of Christ was gone, there'd be all hell on earth. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think this is hell on earth now, and you think you're going through stuff, you haven't seen nothing yet. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, see the capital H, that means Christ. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way. So we must be taken out of the way for the wrath of God to come to the earth. Right now there's judgment. Judgment always comes before wrath because judgment causes awakening. It shakes. Wake up. Wake up. Get your house in order. Where are you at? And verse 8. And when the lawless one will be and then the lawless one will be revealed. Why? Because the body of Christ will be removed. But God always leaves a remnant of sealed ones. whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, they did not love truth. Antichrist does not love truth. Antichrist spirit, people who are associated with Antichrist spirit do not love truth. They like partial truth. See, there's certain areas that they love because it has nothing to do. They love God's promises of blessings and prosperity. But God's judgment. You realize how many believers are still shacking up together, man and female? Some men and men. And they think it's okay? Yes. Jesus knows. Yes, he does. That's why you're supposed to hear this message. Get out of it. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch unclean things. And then I'll be a father to you. But not until then. Until then, you're on your own. Because anyone who willfully sins is not under the blood. Anyone who willfully sins is not covered by the blood of Christ. So if you're not doing the will of God, you're not under the blood. Well, I believe that Jesus, you know, he paid the price for me. Yes, he paid the price for you to do his will, not for you to do your own. Again, grace. I'm saved by grace. Yes, yeah, like some mystical thing. Grace is the will of God. It's the plan of God. You are saved because you are cooperating with grace, which is his plan. You were saved because his plan says, repent and accept me as your Lord and Savior. That's grace. Okay. Repent means turn from sin, turn from the presence of evil, turn from darkness, and walk in the light. So if you're not walking in the light and you say that you are a Christian, you are a liar. God looks at us as liars, because the word believe means to follow. Oh, but we've been living together for a long time. We just call it marriage. No, have you been married under the hand of God? That's marriage. And it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah 17. So we see in the falling away, Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you know the truth? Amen. To God be the glory. He's glad you know too. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Let's speak it together. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Why? Because he's blinded. God is always trying to rescue because he's trusting his own abilities, his talents, his bank account, his ways, thinking that God is with him in everything he does because he claims to be a Christian. Let me tell you, God is not in unrighteousness. And there is no gray area in God. He is light. He is not gray. So we're to live in his life. He doesn't live in ours. That's why he said, come and follow me, so that we live in his life. He does not live in our life. We live in his. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. You know what a salt land is considered? Hell. It's called the Dead Sea. Eventually the Dead Sea will start on fire. It'll be known hell on earth. We're not going to get into it today, though. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be what? Anxious. Anxious. Why? Because anxious is associated with fear. And that's one of the things the devil likes to do, is get you to move out of God's time. And he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So we can either be blessed or cursed. And the word says that your heart is deceitful. This is why it's so important. You know why people get hurt and offended? Because they share their heart. You're not supposed to share your heart. You're supposed to give your heart to him. The only heart you're to share is his. If you want your heart in his hands, that's how you live. So we're to give our heart to him in exchange for his heart. Then we share his heart because we're his. If I'm his, then he has my heart. If somebody else has my heart, then I'm not his. Has everybody got it? My heart is that I have right now is the heart of Christ. I share the heart of Christ. I no longer have a heart. I'm heartless. Because I cannot live out of my soul. I live out of my spirit. My soul has false compassion. My soul has a woe is me, Z. The devil speaks to my soul if I let him. But God speaks to my heart, my spirit. So if I want to have a true relationship with the Lord, I can no longer have my heart. He must have it. And if he has my heart, he's got my back. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory. John chapter 14. John 14 in verse 1. Let's speak it together. Is everybody okay? Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you what? You know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, he was saying, I am the Father. See, the carnal mind can't comprehend that because they look at God as being way out there. This must be just his son. No. He was called his son. Jesus is God. The Bible says that God took Jesus from his bosom and called him son because like father, like son. Look at verse 7. He says, and if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have what? Seen him. Why? Because Jesus is the Father. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Oh, you flesh creature. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, he couldn't see, could he? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. If you can't comprehend that, look at the works. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Father. He is the way of life. He is the life giver. And we must follow the voice of life, because he is the voice of life. Hebrews chapter 1. Everyone say, voice of life. That's the teaching. For those who are still asking, what is the title of this message? Hebrews 1 and verse 1, voice of life. So you're either obeying the voice of life, following the voice of life, or you're following the voice of death. So if you're associated with the spirit of Antichrist, what voice are you following? See, the individuals don't see it because they can't see it, the end result. They can't see the end result. In verse 1, let's speak it. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the world. So he is the voice of life also. And being the brightness of his what? Glory and express image of his person. This is Jesus. He's saying, look it, he's me. The Father's saying, he's me. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He has by inheritance, because Jesus is not only the Son, but he's the Father, so he's inherited all things of the Father. So everybody got it. See, now Jesus gave all things to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is giving all things to me and you. If you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? He is the voice of life. Hebrews 3. And verse 7. Let's speak it together. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that means there's cooperation required, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. So we must hear the voice of life. Amen. And Genesis 4. Hallelujah. In verse 9. Let's start at verse 8. It says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Nice brother. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The voice of your brother's blood. See, blood has a voice. Why? Because in the flesh, what keeps the flesh alive is the blood. Somebody got it. There's the life of the flesh is in the blood. Go to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Oh, glory. in verse 7. I mean, verse 11, 17:11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. And let's speak it together. For the life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood. The life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the what? The soul. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. So blood has a voice. The blood, the Lord heard the blood, the voice of the blood. Amen? Oh, glory. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. It says, read it with me. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that what? Speaks better things than that of Abel. See, Jesus' blood speaks. It still speaks. His blood speaks better than things of the natural, of anything. Anything that the enemies may say, his blood speaks better. The voice of the blood that was shed at the cross and before the cross. The blood spoke. When Jesus was whipped, when Jesus was tortured, and every ounce and every drop of blood that came out of him cried out. It said forgiven. It said healed. Every stripe. It said power. It said freedom. It said love. It said life. His blood still speaks. That's why when you're under the blood of covenant, his blood says, you're mine. It is the price that was shed at Calvary on the cross, which still speaks today. It's eternal blood that was manifested, and it brings eternal covenant. The blood was shed for mankind, and that blood still speaks. It's called the voice of life. In Genesis 6, hallelujah, Genesis 6, 16. And the Lord was speaking to Noah. In verse 16, he says, and you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to the cubic from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, and you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of the flesh you shall bring, two of every sort in the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And in this, he was talking about the area to where his, when Jesus spoke, the voice of life spoke, he also spoke breath. It's called the breath of life. And in every man is the breath of life. And there is the life of the blood. Because the voice of life produces life. Everything associated with Jesus Christ produces life. Amen? Life. And I've come to bring you life and life more abundant. He spoke this, didn't he? But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because the voice of life leads to life. It brings life. It's a life giver. But the voice of life does not produce death. The voice of death produces death. In Psalm 16, and we must begin to see things all the way through, the end results of what we're doing, how we're living. Because the end result right now, the way things are going in this country, is death. That is the end result. But thank God that we obey the voice of life. So no matter what happens, God has a way of escape for us. In Psalm 16, in verse 11, he said what? You shall show me the what? Path of life. How's he going to show him the path of life? By hearing the what? Voice of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. So we have the voice of life, the life of the blood. We have the breath of life. We have the path of life. And Romans 8. Is everybody there? Cool. In verse 1. Let's speak it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hello, there's no condemnation. In other words, there's no death to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now he says something powerful. Who do not walk according to the flesh. Hello. Why? Because if you walk according to the flesh, you are listening to the voice of death, not the voice of life. But are walking according to the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Where you see might, it means cooperation. Might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we see here, the law of the Spirit of life. It is the law of the Spirit of life. And this will be established in me and you if we listen to the voice of life. So if you're proclaiming to be a believer, but you're living in the flesh, you are listening to the voice of death, not the voice of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, so we see here that we have the voice of life, we have the blood of life, we have the breath of life. We have the path of life. We have the law of the Spirit of life in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We also have the life of the covenant of life with us. But of course, you can break that covenant if you choose. In verse 15, for we are what? We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other the aroma of life leading to what? Life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of the sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So we are the aroma of life also. Amen? In other words, we are the aroma of life in the sight of God. David says something powerful, and I'm telling you, don't forget this. He says, I always have the Lord before me. I always see the Lord. See, if you're living in the Spirit, the Lord is always before you. If you're living in the flesh, the Lord's not before you. He's not there. So you do whatever you think you want to do. You say whatever you want to do. And you think that you're listening to the voice of God because you're doing what you want to do. When the Lord is always before you, you don't do the things that you think you should. You do the things that please Him, not you. It's a different life. It's a different realm. It's a different world. There are the three chambers of the tabernacle. Every believer has access to every chamber. It's too many believers live in the outer court. and not in the holy place or the most holy place. Because it's a different way of life. It's a different language. We have a complete teaching on that. But there's an area where the voice of life is his face speaking to you all the time. He's always before you. Always. So you don't do the things that you wish or you desire. You do the things that please him. Not how you feel and not what you believe. You do the things that please him because he's before you. And remember, he never interrupts himself. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Glory. So we are the aroma of life. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 14. Philippians 2:14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the what? Word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So we see here the word of life. How many of y'all know that the word of life speaks? In other words, there's a voice in every single one of them. And it's the voice of life that produces life and gives life. It's one or the other. One or the other. We're leading on to life or we're leading on to death, one or the other. But I'm a believer. I've been a believer 40 years. I've been keeping this pew warm. Same seat every week. Haven't budged yet. Haven't even gotten on your knees and repented yet either. But I'm religious. I am spiritual. You are pride, deceived, and demonized. But I've given to the poor. I've done this. It's all about I. Religion. Satan's number two tool. Number one weapon is deception. It's not about I. It's about him. Amen? It's about him. In Revelation 3, the world is about I. Me, myself, and I, the Trinity of Darkness. The Bible says, give him the glory. Revelation 3, so we can add the book, the word of life, right? Revelation 3 and verse 4. Yeah, let's start at 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not yet found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Now, you got to understand, this is a letter to believers. Watch, look at this. This is powerful. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who what? Have not defiled their garments. They've not defiled their garments. And they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. So if your garments are defiled, will you get your name blotted out? Yes. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is what has happened. Many believers in the church have not heard. they've not heard the voice of life. They've heard the voice of death, and they've gone astray. And they've allowed this country to be turned over to the Antichrist, the Antichrist spirit. So it's up to the ones of the right to be a light. And hopefully the ones in the left will come out of darkness, deception, and death. Colossians 3. Hang tough, a couple more scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. They did not hear the voice of life. Colossians 3. And verse 1. Says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Hello. Why? Because one is the voice of life and the other is the voice of death. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also what? Appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. In other words, we're to put off that old man and put on who? Christ, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and is in all. So our life is hidden with Christ. Turn to James 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. In verse 13. James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what tomorrow will bring. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, I've heard pastors on TV say, we know that the leadership promotes same-sex marriage and abortion, but we're going to vote for him because we believe he can change things. It says if you know what to do is right and don't do it, it is sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So they just chose death over life. Because there is no Jesus before them. It is the enemy that is before them. It is a familiar spirit that's pretending he's God, but they can't discern. They knew what was right and chose wrong. And that choice, the end result, is death. Romans chapter 1. Because the wages of sin is death. You mean that one choice? Yes. Unless they turn from it and repent. It must go under the blood. If it's not under the blood, you're judged by it. Romans chapter 1. Are you getting this? Romans 1 and verse 18. voice of life or voice of death. Let's speak it together. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish in their hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. In other words, women for women. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men for men. Men with men committing what is shameful, and even receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those things who practice them. Wow. So if you are voted for someone that practices those things, you are judged just like them until you repent and turn. People are no different. The blood is on the hands. And the Lord says, who can enter my tabernacle and come to my holy hill? But he is a pure heart and clean hands. A pure heart and clean hands. That's why you're going to see more activity of judgment, because there will be more awakening and hope. People will wake up and be rescued from the wrath of God. It is happening. It's time for the houses to get in order. It's time. We know the course now. There's no doubt. There's no swaying. There's no other decisions. There's no fork in the road. There's one road now. There isn't two. As a believer, you have one road, and that is the voice of life, not the voice of death. And I'm going to close in Psalm 23. And those who practice such things or approve of those who practice such things will be judged the same way. Psalm 23, in verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes. I shall not want or I shall not lack. Why? Because he's your shepherd. You hear his voice. You won't lack. And even though that there's times of transition and season where things seem to be, whoa, Lord, what's going on? He said, hang tough. I got it in control. stay on course, because this is the place where the enemy can easily sway you off course. And then what I'm trying to get you, you miss. I'll let that penetrate a second here. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside what? Now, why would he do that? So you can hear. You can't hear if water's running. You can't hear if you're busy. He makes you lie down. Why? Because the enemy can speak to you through desires, emotion, and everything else louder than God can until you get still. The Bible tells us he's a still small voice, not a loud, aggressive, or unless you're getting ready to step in a fire, I can tell you God can speak louder. Get out of there! Repent! You know. But he makes us light. He gets us by still waters. So you can hear. Verse 3. He restores my what? How's he going to restore your soul? When you get next to still waters, so you're going to know the truth and not be led how you feel and what you believe. There's an exchange. 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 Lord, take my heart and let your heart be manifested. Lord, take my thoughts and let your thoughts be manifested. Take my will and let your will be manifested. Take my desires and let your desires be manifested. Make the exchange so you can change. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of what? See, do you see the order of this? Hear, restore, lead. Hear, restore, lead. And the fruit of it is righteousness. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. Why? Because you have heard. You have chosen the voice of life and rejected the voice of death, which is fear. He said, you are with me because he's before you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Get in line. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's covenant. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And let this seed be penetrated deep within us, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory as you prepare us for the season of power, prosperity, overcoming, and trials, that we may be victorious in every battle, denying ourselves, picking up our crosses, and following you to the end. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.